I'm Mark Brazell, and this is Cincinnati Edition. Thanks for tuning in. Well, it's St. Patrick's Day tomorrow, and the St. Patrick's Day Parade, however, since tomorrow is Sunday, will be taking place today at noon. The St. Patrick's Day Parade here in Cincinnati going down Eggleston and Sycamore starting at noon today. But this morning I have on the phone with me Kevin Grace, who has just authored the new book, Irish Cincinnati, one of the Images of America series from Arcadia Publishing. It gives me great pleasure to welcome Kevin to Cincinnati Edition. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
I was fascinated by your book to find out that Cincinnati's had an Irish influence right from the beginning.
Yeah, from the very beginning. As a matter of fact, the first school teacher here in the late 1700s was Irish. So, it goes back a long way and incorporates everybody from the Gambles to the people you've never heard of.
Indeed. And you, I guess, talked to quite a few of those because there are so many deep roots of Irish families here in Cincinnati dating back to the 19th century. And basically, it began with that wave of immigration from Ireland back in the mid-19th century, correct?
Yeah, it actually began in the late 1700s when a lot of the Irish immigrants here were typically from the northern part, and they were Protestants, also a lot of Quakers. But by the mid-19th century, with the potato famine in Ireland, then we started getting huge waves of Irish immigrants who were primarily Catholic.
And the Catholic Church was a big influence on those early Cincinnati Irish, right?
Yeah, it was their means of communication, I think, with the folks back home in Ireland. Archbishop Purcell started the Catholic Telegraph, and in the early days it contained letters, notices, things of that sort from back home, and the paper would actually be read aloud to Catholic parishioners here in Cincinnati so that they could keep in touch with what was going on or find a lost relative. So the Catholic Church was tremendously influential in setting up Irish communities here, parish communities in particular.
And was also here in Cincinnati really a hotbed of debates, as you write in the book, back in the 1800s, centered around religion and public education and temperance and abolitionism. And the church was really a strong player in those debates.
Yeah, they were, especially Purcell, who was quite a debater. But the question came as to whether public funds should be used to educate, used for education in parochial schools or not. But also there was a lot of anti-Catholic and anti-immigrant backlash in the city, as there were in other cities in this country. And as a matter of fact, there was quite a period of time when a Catholic church was not allowed to be constructed within the city limits. So the first one was actually beyond Liberty Street, in the Liberties, as it were. So, there was a lot of discussion, debate, a lot of acrimony.
I was surprised at how many familiar names. You mentioned Purcell. Of course, Purcell High School here. McNicholas, another name that pops up here. You mentioned Gamble, Procter and Gamble, both with Irish descendants. And Coleraine, the township of Coleraine, named after an Irishman, too.
Named after an Irish settlement, an original Irish town. The original settler wanted to acknowledge his home place in Ireland, so he named Coleraine Township after that.
Dropping the E from the Coleraine that's in Ireland, as I recall.
Yeah, we tend to drop a lot of E's, don't we? Especially when it comes to incorporating names into the American vernacular. But, there's quite a large Irish influence on Cincinnati culture.
It was fascinating to learn about Mount Adams and how Mount Adams was really the Irish enclave here in Cincinnati before it became so trendy in the 1970s.
That's true. I can remember when I was a grad student at UC in the mid-1970s that it was still very much a working-class neighborhood. And, of course, it was shortly after that that it became more gentrified, more exclusive the way it is now. But they've still held on to that a lot. And Crowley's is the biggest example, an old neighborhood bar that goes back decades, but also Immaculata Church and the stealing of the annual theft of the statue of St. Patrick for the parade festivities to begin. And if you go up there, it may be gentrified now, but you still get a lot of old-timers coming back in the afternoons and the early evenings. So, yeah, it was very much an Irish working-class neighborhood.
It's amazing how influential the Irish were here in Cincinnati and continue to be. But you always hear about Cincinnati being a German city. How has that German influence overtaken the Irish influence?
I guess they're better organized. it's really odd because here in the Archives and Rare Books Library at the University of Cincinnati, we have one of the world's great collections of German Americana that was really started by a former colleague of mine, Don Heinrich Tolzman. So we hear about Germans all day long. And with this book, since this was going to be the final book I did for Arcadia, the 10th one I've done for them, I wanted to do something that was closer to my own heart, and that would have been something on the Irish heritage. So I decided to do that, and the more I got into it, the more people just came from nowhere and talked to me about it, the more I realized that the story hadn't been told fully yet, that we'd been overwhelmed by the Germans. But there is still a very strong Irish heritage here, and as a matter of fact, often the Germans and Irish banded together to fight against nativism and anti-immigration policies and programs. And the only time they really differed is when they had to worship in the same church.
Hmm.
And Purcell took care of that by creating German parishes and Irish parishes.
Well, the influence also goes to the neighborhoods, not only Mount Adams, which you wouldn't guess today, but O'Brienville, too, the neighborhood I lived in for a few years. I didn't realize it had Irish roots.
Yeah, those Irish roots actually started with a farmer by the name of O'Brien. And a lot of the land was sold off, but a lot was gained back. And they sort of kept that name and kept that identity. And O'Brienville still had a large segment of Irish Americans as late as the 1960s. So it continued on for a good while, and one of the wonderful people who helped me with this book, Susie Kalk, grew up in O'Brienville, raised by an Irish grandmother, and told lots of stories about dancing in the house and music and celebrations and all of that. So O'Brienville has quite a rich heritage of its own.
What surprised you the most as you were doing the research? You say you have those Irish roots and knew a lot, but then people started coming out of the woodwork. What did you find most surprising? Because I was surprised practically every page here, Kevin.
Well, I guess that's good, isn't it? I think that surprised me the most, and something I didn't know, was that how much the local Irish maintained very strong, active ties to Ireland. It wasn't a case of where they just looked longingly back. They were active in Ireland becoming a free nation in its own right in the 1900s, but also that it was Cincinnati Irish that played a major part in the post-Civil War invasion of Canada to try and wrest it away from the British and force them out of Ireland. That failed, of course, as so many Irish rebellions did, but that was the big surprise, seeing that I think the Irish in Cincinnati maintained closer ties to the homeland than any other ethnic group.
A great book and many surprises. Thank you for sharing a few this morning, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate you talking to me about it because it's a subject I love.
Well, happy St. Patrick's Day tomorrow.
And the same to you.
Kevin Grace, the author of Irish Cincinnati from the Images of America series, published by Arcadia. You can find it where books are sold and find a link to it on our website, wvxu.org. The St. Patrick's Day parade, not tomorrow on St. Patrick's Day, but today at noon, going down Eccleston and Sycamore in downtown Cincinnati.